Hi, my name is Gunnar Froh and I'm your host on the Wunder Mobility podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Wunder Mobility podcast. Today is a special topic that I've been waiting for a while. We have two guests on the podcast, Lennart Höhl and Jérôme Joubert from Allianz Partners. Welcome.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Hi, Gunnar. Thank you very much for having us.
Allianz Partners is not the usual suspect for the mobility podcast, but I think your perspectives will be quite interesting. And everyone thinking at first, well, this is going to be about insurance, is quite wrong. We're going to really zoom out, take a much broader view. And you're also defining Allianz Partners as both an insurer and an assistance provider. And you have a lot of services going on in addition to your insurance products. 8 billion approximately company, 20,000 people headquartered in Paris and Munich. Give us a little bit at first, maybe a quick rundown of who Allianz Partners is before we zoom out to talk about what's changing in mobility and what that means for companies like you.
Sure. Happy to do that. Indeed, the Allianz Group is a very wide group with many different entities. Allianz Partners is, if you want, the B2B2C arm in the Allianz Group. So we are there every time there is a distribution of a product that goes through a selected B partner to the end consumer. Then that's usually our business. And I would say the other differentiator is we're specialized into assistance and services on top of insurance. So something a bit different that comes on top of insurance. The best examples are roadside assistance. So if you get stranded with your car and you need a towing, you would call us and we would send a towing company to come and pick you up. Or if you're traveling and you need a doctor through your travel insurance, this is also a service we provide. So you can see that it goes beyond the classical insurance claims management, but more into how can services help consumers here.
Yeah, and in fact, I think Allianz Partners has this huge portfolio of products and services around mobility developed by now that you're running. And let's talk a bit about what, from your perspective, are the key trends in mobility and then how you're responding to those. How is your product portfolio evolving because of these trends?
I mean, there's a lot going on at the moment in the mobility space. So we're very happy and excited about the times to come. You know, being very very classical in my answer here, it's both an opportunity and a threat, right? We tackle it because at first it's a threat. What threat? Why? Because all these trends are having an impact on our motor insurance portfolio, which is, you know, a bit the bread and butter of an insurance company. It's not only important as a revenue and profit stream, it's also important because for many clients, it's the first product that they have with an insurer. You usually start with a motor insurance company, and after that, you know, you realize that the insurer can protect you in other different aspects of your life. And this is when you go into life insurance or you go into property insurance. So everything that is impacting the motor insurance book is quite strategic. But we also believe that we can take the best out of these trends and you know, make the business grow and develop new products. So in the end, when we look at the current automotive trends, what is there out there that is having a serious impact? There's, of course, electrification. You know, no doubt that the rise of electric vehicles, hybrid vehicles is, of course, impacting the portfolio. We know that the wave is coming, so it's not a matter of fighting against it. You know, EVs are coming, and we see our portfolio gradually shifting from combustion engine vehicle into different types of EVs. The major impact here, Gunnar, is that, well, an EV is built differently. And from an insurance perspective, that matters quite a lot. The battery is, you know, around 30 to 50% of the value of the car, and it's a component that was simply not there before. So, of course, when you have an accident today with an EV, the way to handle the accident, to repair the vehicle, is very different from the way you repair a combustion engine just because of the battery. So electrification is having a huge impact. We also see that it is a wave that people don't yet completely understand because it's linked to a new technology. It's not only just a new car, it's the way the car works is new. You don't go to the gas station anymore. You can charge your car at home or on the go. So people are still, you know, a little bit thinking about how they understand this technology. So we're here to help them as well. So that's one trend. The second trend is, of course, the distribution of cars themselves. We have a player who got into the market and said, okay, cars are going to be sold online now. No more dealerships, online, 1,000 euro, 500 euro deposit. And then, you know, your car is going to be delivered in a few weeks. that's changing massively the way that OEMs are seeing the distribution of cars. So it's also something we need to tackle. Why? Because, well, we sell insurance today at the dealership. And so if, you know, tomorrow cars are sold online, we need to figure out how to put the insurance then online as well with the car. So that's another trend that we're looking at. And then the third one I would say is of course, car data. It's not a new topic, right? We've been speaking about car data for quite a decade now. You know, data is a new gold and everything. I think what's really new now is we see that we can now access directly to the car data, while in the past it was a lot indirect access. So in the past, you were speaking about solutions with a dongle in the OBD2 port, with a tag, with your smartphone as a sensor. So it's all indirect car data because you know there's a way to get to it. Now we see that the car manufacturers are more and more open to work with us on the direct data access. So that opens new perspectives in terms of telematics.
Maybe to add to that last point that you just mentioned, what we clearly see is that obviously connectivity in the market is rising significantly. So we expect by 2030 to have around 60% of vehicles on the streets being connected in some shape or form. So basically they're becoming Internet of Things devices, so to say, so capable of sharing data. And there's a whole host of data that, impacts on, you know, how customers consume mobility and basically how you can build a value proposition or a customer experience around this. So clearly, this is one important factor that for us as an insurer or assistance provider plays an important role as to how we can provide solutions going forward to customers that are meaningful and relevant to them. And there's also a lot of, in terms of regulation that is happening now in this space with the EU Data Act, for example, coming into force this year. This is definitely a trend that will significantly shape over the next few years the market as well, right?
It's very interesting what you also shared in the very beginning. From an overall insurance perspective, this motor insurance part is often the entry point for also then, you know, upselling into different other parts of a consumer's life. Therefore, kind of very critical to be successful here. And then you're saying, well, there are different trends happening at once in this mobility part that you're working in. On the one hand, shift to electric vehicles, but also distribution channels are changing. And then kind of the rise of accessibility of data and what to do with that. And maybe let's zoom into the last one a little bit first. This car data, so you mentioned, Leonard, 20, 30, 60% of cars are somehow connected. That's probably in Europe, I assume,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Estimate for Europe. Kind of to what degree are you somehow classifying this connectivity? Because often like it already counts as connected, but it's not accessible or not yet sending a lot. Are there different levels of being connected that you somehow classify? How do you slice this availability question when you talk about this internally, basically?
Yeah, so I think taking a step back on that, in the past, a lot of the data, you know, that was available to insurers and also other players in the market was coming from different kinds of sensors, right? So for example, in the past, an insurer would provide a solution, or even today, to customers where you utilize the smartphone as a sensor in order to extract data on how the customer is utilizing a specific vehicle, or you would provide them with some sort of device that needs to be attached to the vehicle or sticked into the windshield in order to gain some information. This is now something that is changing over time. There's more and more, let's say, data becoming available directly from the OEMs or mobility players that are in the market. But what we see today is that there is still, let's say, a very heterogeneous market out there, meaning that not all the OEMs or mobility players are the same. So you can get different kinds of data from different players in a different frequency or quality. And this is something that gradually forms over time, where for us as an insurer or a third-party provider, it is important to have, let's say, some sort of similar set of data that you can rely on in order to build meaningful solutions for your end customers on that basis. And I think that's where right now regulation is picking up on this topic and helping to improve. I mentioned the EU Data Act before. So that's something where the regulator is trying to improve the availability of data and putting, let's say, the user of the networked device into control, so to say, over their data and how they want to share that with third-party providers. This is going to be something that will, I think, impact on how this develops over the next few years. And something that obviously for us is very relevant and where we're also involved in the process, because that will help us to build those solutions, let's say, over the next few years. I think that's not going to be a shift from one day to the other, but it's going to be a very gradual shift over time. And I think working jointly with our partners, with the OEMs that we collaborate with, we try to, let's say, improve on the data availability there.
Can you help us understand roughly how far we are on this kind of journey to leverage car data to really provide value to consumers or to anyone in the supply chain? Are there concrete applications already that you have basically rolled out that were new in the last years that you can quantify already somehow?
So there are definitely applications that exist already today. As said, it really depends on, let's say, the availability of the data or the data that you can actually use. So when you look at the different data points there are, so usually what you can already receive from an OEM or a data marketplace today is information around the odometer, for example. So how far a vehicle has driven, the kilometers and so on. If you look to further data points, there might be very much of a difference as to what data can be shared and in which frequency. Sometimes you get second by second information. In other cases, you only get data point every 2 minutes, so to say. From that kind of view, you see how difficult it is to build a solution that is adequate to, let's say, OEMs or both partners. And this is changing over time. But what we can already do today by interacting with individual partners directly is to build for that specific brand, for example, a solution in terms of predictive assistance, for example. So by extracting, let's say, data out of vehicles, we can give feedback to customers, so to say, in terms of where we see certain risks arising and how they should address that specific risk by going to a workshop, for example, and getting a specific issue fixed. So those are solutions that we have in place already today. Or we also have, let's say, if you think about the risk pricing, so say that we need to conduct on our side, there's information that plays a role in this, for example, as to how much a specific vehicle driven. So how many kilometers are going into a vehicle throughout the year. There's information that is being shared by certain partners that we have already today, making a product more attractive for an end customer because we can automatically adjust, so to say, the insurance pricing based on the information that we receive. And this is something that will shift more and more over time, where we can ingest more data points and use them to make that even an even better experience.
I think, Gunnar, just to complete on what Lennart said, you can see it maybe in a kind of three-step maturity approach on the insurance product side. The initial telematics tariff were indeed based on a very limited number of data points. They were, in the industry, we call them pay-as-you-drive tariffs. So it's basically kilometer or time, right? So very simple, the more you drive or the longer you drive, the higher the risk is, then, you know, the tariff can adapt. Now we're developing a so-called pay how you drive tariffs. So it's more, it's not only about the kilometers, it's also what you do in this driving time, right? So how often do you harsh brake? How often do you harsh accelerate? Where do you drive? More these kind of things, which give a bit more context around this driving time or driving distance. And then we need to interpret that into a risk scoring and then match it into the tariff. So this is what currently the industry is working on. And then you can think about the third step, which would be, you know, in the future, is to contextualize the driving. So it's not only about the car data themselves, but it's also about what's the other data around the car. So what's happening around the car? To give you a very concrete example, if you brake harsh, usually it's not very good driving because, you know, the guy behind you can drive into you. But in some situations, it's actually the best thing to do, right? If you have a kid with a football just bumping out of the street in front of you, the best thing to do is to brake harsh. And so in that case, it's, you know, it's a good habit. So, of course, if you contextualize that with cameras and sensors that are telling you a little bit what's happening in the environment, this can help you even better interpret your data and give, you know, risk and an even better perspective. So I think we're on this journey now. Pay as you drive, it's something that is, you know, in the market, and Allianz here has some offers live. Pay how you drive, it's coming, and we're gradually going into this space. And then the contextual scoring, this is probably, you know, the third step that we can look ahead of us.
That's super interesting, super cool. And Jerome, when you see the different players in the industry, do you think they are kind of all pursuing the same strategy of more data will help more? And right now there's heterogeneity in like what everyone's offering and processing, but directionally everyone wants more and to leverage this, or are people moving in different directions and taking different philosophies? Like maybe in smartphones, Apple would put some, be known for putting some extra limitations to how they use data just to keep trust with consumers, for example.
I think, without speaking for our competitors, I think the industry as a whole is definitely moving into this this area. Now, of course, there's different speed of execution within the different players. I think Allianz is rather one of the speedy players here on board that is trying to quickly do some things with data and bring on new innovative offers. We're not the only ones. So again, people have different, or players have different speed there, but I would really say that the general movement is, okay, we need to do something there, because it just helps us, to better understand the risk. And that's our core business, right? We are risk assessors. We try to understand risks in the best possible way, individualize them. And the data with the car is a tremendous new tool that is helping us into this direction.
Maybe to just quickly add to that, I would also say that from the trends that we spoke about before, Jerome was also mentioning that we're moving now more and more into a direct-to-consumer sales approach, so to say. So this is a channel that is basically picking up. And there, the data that you can obtain out of, the customer journey before the car sale is concluded, but also afterwards, once you're driving the vehicle, helps tremendously in providing, a solution that is fit to what the customer needs, helps to improve also on the risk pricing. So really, we can provide, let's say, at the right point in time, the right solution for the end customer. And I think that's something that is very clear to the industry, which is why this is generally something that a lot of people are looking into right now. And for that reason, we are also working on, let's say, integrating more with our partners in order to be able to extract the data that helps us to improve on this.
Yeah. Let's talk more about the changes in distribution channel. I think that's super fascinating, because you described a picture where traditionally there's the car dealership, and this would be, could be a place to also sell insurance. Now, sometimes cars can be bought online, but it also goes the other way around. It's not just the OEM has an offering on their website and is selling directly online. And now when I go to insurance websites, I have, in some cases, cars being offered, and maybe even as a subscription, as some sort of as a service, essentially. Can you talk a little bit about this, how this whole dynamic is playing out? And is the leverage clearly shifting in one direction or another, or it's very complex in the end of the day?
So I think what's shifting, and that's a very good observation, is that slowly but surely there's a shift in ownership of the car. So I think the single ownership model of our parents, where you would, just buy a car, that would be the only way to get to a car. It's a used car, it's a new car, but in the end, you own it. This is slowly moving. It's not a fast trend, but we can see that, alternative types of ownerships are coming in. So people now rent cars, lease cars, subscribe cars. The boundaries between those models, by the way, is more and more blurry. So what's really the difference between long-term renting, leasing contract, a subscription? Is it at the end that you can just buy the car or not at the end of your contract, or is it more than that? But in the end, you can see that all this trend is coming up. On top of that, you have the shared mobility topic, where also you don't own the asset, but you share it with other people. So I think all these alternative ownership models are coming in, and they all need insurance still, right? It's not because you don't own the car that the car doesn't own insurance. Somebody needs to be there in case there is an accident, in case there are casualties, to step in, help people, repair the car. So we as an insurer still have a role to play independently of these ownership models. And we are actually already working, with the different new players coming into the market. For example, in subscription, this is public information, but we are partner of Link & Co. So they are very big in subscription, and we're trying to help them there to come up with the right protection of the assets during the time that it is subscribed, and for them as an owner of the asset. So we're trying to accompany the industry there. When it comes to the online car sales itself, it's also a challenge for us, right? I mean, in the old world, I would say, in the dealership, we have our own customer journey. So we can ask consumers a lot of questions. And I think all of you have answered the questions for car insurance. It's sometimes a bit crazy what insurers ask. No, I've seen questions, not with Allianz, but otherwise, does your garage have a lock? How many numbers does a lock have, right? And what does insurer need to know that? But, so we had this comfort that we own the journey, so we can ask as many questions as we want, and then, we'd assess the risk. When it's online, it's a bit of a different game, right? Because it's not our journey, it's the car manufacturer's journey. So you're actually configuring a car that's going to cost maybe 50,000 euro at the end. The insurance is just going to be a tiny portion of that. So of course, the car manufacturer is not going to give you that much space to sell your insurance product. It should be fast, directly to the point. And there is just no way that for a car, you ask 10 questions to configure it, that for the insurance, you need 40 questions. It's going to be, 2 or 3 max questions, and the rest, it needs to come from somewhere else. So these are the challenges we are facing. And on the pricing side, to give you a right price for your insurance product, it's the same. Today, our pricing models, they're based on all these questions and all these inputs. If tomorrow we have less, so the data is coming from somewhere else, we need to adapt the way we price the product. So these are the challenges we are being faced with today on this online sales journey.
Right. Yeah, and I can only imagine if less data is there about the consumer, that would drive up the price, drive up the uncertainty.
It's not necessarily less data, sorry to interrupt. It's also sometimes that we need to be smart to find the data somewhere else. So the data,
yes.
Maybe the car manufacturer already has the data. They know who you are, they know your name. So maybe we don't need to ask that again, because they can just, when you configure the car, if you have a profile, we already know you are Gunnar, so we can just take that data and no need to ask you a second time. And some of the data, maybe you can actually take a proxy from the market and we don't need to ask you specifically about that. So there's other ways, to compensate for the data we would not directly get from you. It doesn't necessarily mean that we have to work with less data.
That's a good point. Yeah. It's of course great for the consumer to some extent, but at least it's easier. When you talk about these distribution channels, there's kind of a new kit on the block that you also already mentioned that's not an OEM, maybe not a classic car rental company at scale, but more providing digitized access to mobilities, very flexible, sometimes minute-based. And that's to some extent also many of the people in the audience that are engaging with the podcast who are operators of shared mobility, sometimes free-floating, station-based, sometimes subscription models and so on. And before we started recording in another call, you had already mentioned that you are also quite active in that particular space, even though it's overall still a small part of the whole distribution of vehicles. Can you share anything about this, kind of your maybe relative position approximately at the moment? Because I think Allianz Partners is a very important player for these kind of new mobility operators.
Happy to start on that, and Jerome, feel free to compliment. Allianz Partners clearly is one of the bigger players in that space. So we work with pretty much all the big shared mobility or micro mobility providers in the market. And we accompanied them, let's say, from the very start, so to say, when they became active in the European markets. We very much see ourselves, let's say, as an enabler in that space. So really helping, let's say, the companies grow. As you can imagine, in the beginning, when you start as a new player in the market, there's a hyper growth phase. Most of these companies had significant funding from the start in order to establish, let's say, their operations within Europe. Across different markets. And there was an intense need, let's say, to be able to scale across different regions. So it's new market starting within very short timeframes. And we as Allianz Partners, we were there right from the start. And since we are a very global player, we're active in more than 70 markets globally, we have the possibility to also support that kind of approach, let's say, across different markets, across different requirements. Obviously, that placed a lot of, let's say, a challenge on us as well in order to ramp that up quickly in the beginning. But I think we built some, let's say, solutions that helped these providers enter the market and kind of also follow them, let's say, along the transition. So I think what you see today is that there's a lot of consolidation in that market. More and more, let's say, cities are focusing on specific providers, and there's much more requirements coming into force around, let's say, professionalizing the way how the business provided, how insurance is, let's say, put in place and how the risk is, so to say, estimated. And that's also something that we as Allianz partners try to help these players that we work with in terms of better assessing, let's say, the risk that is being faced in specific markets at specific points and times by also taking into account the data and therefore being better able to price the risk and also to deal with certain risk situations. So really, we try to, let's say, follow that kind of development that we see in the market and act as an enabler of players in that field.
And with the same philosophy that you've kind of mentioned throughout, from payer to partner, basically trying to also give feedback and contribute into the evolution of these models. What about this assistance provider aspect in this context of vehicle sharing operators? Is there, do you see a place there for Allianz partners, a role to play as well, maybe even today or in the future, when it comes to even operations, be that on the customer support side or on the vehicle maintenance side and so on, similar to what you would do on the B2C context?
Yeah, I think it's that's a very good question. I think as assistance, I'm not sure it is specifically then different when it comes to micromobility, and that there is, you know, a different assistance need in that space than when you drive a normal car, for example. I would more see it on the side that we are also helping, you know, those micromobility players into the safety and security aspects, also working directly or indirectly with them on these aspects. And to give you a few very concrete examples, if you remember the first scooters we had in Europe a few years ago, you know, they had tiny tires, for example, right? So this leads to an increased risk of falling down, because every obstacle you might meet on the road is immediately a challenge for you to pass on. Now, if you look at the latest models, they have quite big wheels, big tires, which makes them, you know, a lot more comfortable to drive, but also a lot less risky to fall down. So, you know, by assessing the risk, you can also then try and work on this safety and security aspect and make sure that in the end, there are less accidents happening. And this is also something where we can, and as an insurer with the background of knowing those risks and understanding what's happening, help the mobility players to improve their products and improve their experience for the consumers.
Yeah. Maybe also adding to that as an additional component, as you know, since as an insurer, we also have, let's say, transparency around when specific incidents, crashes or breakdowns are happening, because in the end, obviously, we have access to the claims data. By leveraging the insights that we can get out of the data and kind of bringing that together with the information that we receive from the micromobility or shared mobility provider in terms of when did specific trips happen, when is an increase, let's say in the use of specific vehicles, for example, on weekend evenings or so on, compared to during the week, we can bring together those points of information and really, let's say, develop insights or meaning out of that and information that we can also share with the provider to better steer the risk also from their perspective.
This was quite fascinating already to get a look behind the curtain of how you're thinking about this evolution in the mobility space and where you see opportunity and where products are already coming out, but also your role and collaboration with these new mobility operators as someone who has access to claim data across and who sees themselves not just as a payer, but as a partner. So yeah, thanks a lot for taking the time today to share this with us.
Thanks to you for giving up the opportunity.
Sure. Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.